What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. We're on episode 65, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to post something, that will help us out and help this podcast keep on going. With me this morning, as I pretty much say every Friday or every weekend morning we do this podcast, is Derek. What's up, Derek?
Yeah, what's up, Bob? How you doing?
I think I'm getting sick. So if I sound really stuffy, guys, it's because I'm pretty sure I'm getting sick. But I'm going to try to fight the sickness and take a bunch of medicine today. So
seems like you shouldn't be getting sick right now.
Yeah,
like,
but
it's finally becoming nice.
It's been like fluctuation. Like last week, like this past weekend, it was freezing. Like,
oh yeah,
it was almost going to snow.
It was horrible. It did snow here.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Disgusting. So it's like back and forth, and like where I live. We have, like, the heat is, like, steam heat. I live in this, like, really old building, so, like, it's turned off. So, like, right now in my apartment, it's pretty cold. Because, like, it takes a while for, like, the whole building to heat up. Because they haven't turned it back on yet, because I don't think anybody wants it on.
Yeah. But if it goes on, then it'll be probably way too hot.
Yeah, so it's still pretty cold. So that might be the reason that I've gotten sick. I don't know. But let's just jump right into our reviews this week instead of talking about me being sick, because I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, it is a tech podcast, not a health update. Yeah,
it's not Bob's health update today. So
weekly health update.
Yeah.
But we talk as much as we are all so concerned. You know,
I don't think anybody's concerned. But we took a look at two really cool products this week, and the first one is Corsair's M65 Pro RGB gaming mouse. And they've had their M65 design, and the M65 mouse has been in the Corsair family for a very long time. I think like 4 or 5 years almost. It was originally the Vengeance M65 when they first announced their gaming products, and this seems like so long ago now. But basically, over the years, they've slowly upgraded this mouse, and it's on this revision, which is the M65 Pro RGB. And the biggest addition to this one is they've added a 12,000 DPI optical sensor, so you have amazing tracking on it. It's really, really good. And of course, the other upgrade, you do have nice RGB lighting, and they've changed a couple things around from last year's version. But one thing I really like is that Corsair hasn't strayed away from this design. This aluminum, really, really nice design, unibody aluminum design. Go ahead.
All right, what are the actual panels or grips made out of then? Is it aluminum?
I believe
the actual contact part.
It might be like a thicker. I think the actual the chassis is all aluminum, but the panels on the top and the side are like a thicker plastic or like a.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I would kind of assume that they were plastic because they have to bend to click, right? But
yeah.
They look like they're like really nice though, like that matte color. It looks like it would be like a good hand feel.
Yeah. So on the top you have like this matte black, and it feels really, really good. And then on each side you have this sort of like rougher rougher texture on both sides. So your hand feels really comfortable, and it doesn't, like, you know, especially if you're playing for long periods of time, which I actually got to do because I tested this mouse. Is that your hand just doesn't fall off at all. And the overall design, again, they haven't changed it since the introduction of the mouse. So it is amazing. It's just such a good feel. This is basically an FPS mouse. It's made for FPS. There's not a whole lot of buttons on there. It does have the sniper button, which if you've never used before is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Basically, you hold it in and it slows your DPI down to whatever you want. It's set at 400 by default, and that's just really good if you're doing like any type of sniping or even shooting in general from far away in any game. It just makes it so much easier. Really, really cool. Yeah, and like I said, the mouse feels really good. The software works great. Corsair now has their Q software, which they're putting all of their gaming products into. So not only can you link them together, but you can link the RGB lighting with your keyboard and all that kind of stuff. It's really cool.
Oh, nice.
And this
all of your perifs in one spot?
Yeah, everything.
Cool. cool.
And all of and this mouse is only $59.99, which I think is pretty good.
It's cheap enough to just buy to try, I would say.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm still using it, and I will continue to use it. I don't see myself replacing it. So
nice. Is it, how was it? Because like a big thing for me is that, you know, as you keep playing, especially in first person shooters, is like your hands start to sweat. Like does it like no. Does the shape keep your hand ventilated well so that you don't get clammy?
Yeah, it does. It's kind of open at the back.
Yeah.
So yeah, it does have that. So I played Star Wars Battlefront for 2 hours nonstop, and I didn't have any issues.
Nice.
So,
that's kind of major key.
The only thing that I didn't necessarily like about the mouse was the RGB lighting in the back is great, but they have the RGB lighting in the front. I just don't feel it's like bright enough.
Like out by the scroll wheel?
Yeah, it's just like it's not that bright. I wish they would have like maybe opened the mouse up in the front to get some more lighting effect up there. That's not like a you know, a horrible thing, but it's just it's just one of those.
You would like to see a little better.
Yeah, but I really like this mouse. Corsair has done a really great job with it, and if you're an FPS gamer, this is definitely a mouse that I would recommend completely. It's just really, really awesome.
Nice.
So definitely, if you're looking to get a mouse and you're an FPS gamer, you can definitely recommend this. Oh, and one other thing I didn't point out is on the bottom too is that you have weights, so you can take them out, and they're not all in one place, which I really like. They're in three different locations, so you can take them out and kind of adjust the weight to whatever your play style is, which is kind of cool. Really well thought out mouse. Over the years, they've improved it, and I really like it. And there's, besides the RGB thing, not really much bad I can say about it.
Nice.
So, yeah.
It's good to hear. Not really a surprise. Corsair does a good job with almost everything they do.
When you get a Corsair product and it happens to be bad, which I don't remember a product that has been bad, you're kind of like, what? Like, you know? They always do a great job. If you're buying a Corsair product, you know it's going to be good, usually like 99% of the time. So,
yeah.
So, yes. So, let's move on to our second review. And this was actually a really cool product. From Gigabyte. It is their Brix BSi7 6500. If you don't know what Gigabyte Brix are, they are these extremely small mini PCs. And the that's why they're called Brix, because they're so small and so tiny, but they do give you quite a lot of power, which was one thing I really liked, because we see so many of these small mini PCs and they're just not powerful enough to do a lot of stuff. This one, however, is super powerful. It inside you have a brand new Skylake Core i7 6500U, and that has the Intel HD Graphics 520. And then this is a PC kit; it's not necessarily a PC system. So you have the ability to add in DDR3, two DDR3L slots, and an M.2 SSD. So you can put
it. So what is it? What does it come with?
It's just the box that has the embedded processor and chipset. So you get everything else. So the only thing that you need to add is the memory and storage. Everything else you're good with.
So you just spec it out however you desire.
And the storage supports both M.2 SATA drives and M.2 PCI Express. So you can really go the high end and get like one of the new M.2 NVMe, you know, drives, which I didn't do because I don't have one. But it's nice.
But you could have this thing blasting along.
Yeah, but even, I mean, the system that I put together worked really, really well. This isn't like one of those things where it's like, okay, I can only do so much on this. Besides gaming, this is super powerful. This could be your daily thing. This can play 4K video, which not even a lot of laptops, especially laptops with this processor, can really handle. Because they're not spec'd out correctly. So, you know, I was playing 4K video off YouTube. No real issues, no stuttering or anything like that. And that's what a big thing with a lot of systems is when you get into actually replaying 4K video, it just doesn't. You have a lot of issues. It's just really, really powerful, small system. And it's really crazy that it's just so small. It is tiny. And this could easily, if you're not doing gaming and you're not doing stuff like, you know, hardcore encoding or something like that, this could easily be your daily PC. It has everything that you would want. As far as connections go, you have two USB 3.0 ports on the front, two more on the back. You have gigabit Ethernets, HDMI outs, mini display port outs, and I think that is it. And, of course, you have your HD audio in the front. And it has Bluetooth and 802.11 AC Wi-Fi, so you have everything good to go. And with the Bluetooth, which means that you can use, you know, some wireless accessories so that you don't have to take up, you know, one of those for USB ports.
Yeah. So this could be nice for, like, light video and photo editing, Photoshop, Lightroom.
For sure, for sure. Yeah. The biggest thing, the biggest drawback is going to be what you're going to install on it, right? So even the M.2 that I installed is pretty fast for a SATA M.2. But, you know, if you really put in, like, an NVMe drive and some really high-end memory, you'd be fine. Mm-hmm. I only put eight gigabytes in there, so... You know, if you put 16 gigabytes, it supports up to 2133 megahertz. So you
how much memory does it support?
I believe up to 32 gigabytes.
Okay,
maybe 216.
Two, six. It's two slots, right?
Yes, it's a little slot.
Two 16 slots.
Yes,
or DIMMs, and then that for photo editing, that would just blast right along. And having used the same processor in my my Ultrabook. It is more than fine for Lightroom and Photoshop.
Yeah, it's really just a nice thing. And what's really cool is that it does come with, like, they give you, like, a VESA mount as well. So if you just wanted to put this on the back of a display, and then you could just carry that display wherever you wanted, really. It's cool because
like, a lot of designers and stuff, they care a lot about the way their space is set up, you know?
Yeah.
And so this would just clean up your entire workspace.
Yeah, I was actually really surprised because I've reviewed a lot of small little PCs like this, or these little PC kits, and they're great and everything, but they're just not powerful. And this is super powerful, for what it is. Now it isn't cheap. All right, guys, we are back. Sorry, we had a little technical difficulty. Sometimes for some reason, our recording software that we use just stops recording for some odd reason. but we are back, and we were talking about the Gigabyte bricks. And the one thing before I got cut off was we were talking about the price. And right. It's not super cheap. You know, a lot of these mini PCs are very, very inexpensive, but this one is, you know, I think it's well priced for what you're getting. The kit itself is $524.99, and then the SSD that I put in there was $90, and then you have $40 for the memory, and then if you are going to install Windows on it, that's another $90. So that brings the total cost to $744.99.
Which isn't bad. Like, that's a good entry level PC price, I guess.
Yes.
But I see, like, so say then you're a photographer or a graphic designer, you're going to need a really high-end monitor to go with that. So then you're, you know, another $800, I would say, at least. So then you're, you know, $1,600 to $2,000 for, like, a professional use. But that's still not too bad, especially if you're someone that is, like, you really want to be in a Windows environment and you don't want to use an Apple product, because then you're still, I would say, in the same price range as high-end Apple products.
And
maybe a little cheaper.
The thing is, too, is that this, you know, people are like, oh, I can buy a PC for that much. But another thing that's really great about this product is that the power efficiency, it uses, like, no power.
Yeah.
Which is something that's really, really great as well. And again, it is super small. You know, you can just take it out of the way. Like, it's just not in the way.
I really like the VESA mount thing, like the idea of that, because, like, you get, like, a 30-inch monitor, you mount it to the back, and then you get some Bluetooth peripherals, and, like, you have the cleanest workspace, you know?
Yeah.
You're just good to go.
It's really, really great.
You can say, like, you can build a faster PC, sure, but, like, it's really, as long as you've got some good memory and some good storage in there, it's really, you're not going to probably notice much of any sort of lag or anything until you try to game, but you're not going to do that with that. You know that you're not going to do
that. Yeah, and you're not going to get the graphics acceleration in video editing and things like that. But at the same time, and that the onboard video is not horrible.
It's not. Well, like I said, I have this processor in my Ultrabook. My Asus Ultrabook, and it was just fine all at CES for everything I was doing with it. I didn't notice any real lag, any difference between that and my desktop. Maybe the desktop's a little bit quicker, but Not a whole lot, really.
Yeah, that's one thing I really like about this is they've built out a product that does have a use. Because again, those other small form factor PCs, they're just not powerful enough, and they're like, this is a child's PC, or you know, something.
This is just a
web machine or an email machine or something like that.
Yeah.
Where this
cash register.
Yeah, this is actually powerful enough. You know, you could do a lot of if you're playing, you know, displaying things or playing video. This again does 4K, no problem. Which a lot of these small systems cannot even do.
Right. And it does 4K, so you can have your monitor set in 4K too.
Yes.
That's a pretty big deal too.
Yeah, you have HDMI as well as DisplayPort out, so you're good to go. I really like this product. Really, really cool.
Yeah. And I don't think it's a horrible value either.
Neither do I. So yeah,
nice.
definitely check out my review. I go over all of the, I do all the testing on the processor and all that kind of stuff. So really, really cool. And I love the size and how powerful we're getting in such a small size. I really do like
that.
So
it's really cool.
So yes, definitely check that out. And we'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And if you do not know, Case Mod Friday is a section of the site where we cover a case mod or a build that's been completed in the community. And this week we have a build called Digital Invasion, which is sort of a tribute to Space Invaders.
Right.
And I think that it's really, really awesome. It's in a really awesome case too, which is the Inwin 805, which if you haven't seen is a really just solid, really, really solid case. And I just think this is a really cool build. Anything in these Inwin cases I think is really cool.
And, it doesn't take a whole lot of effort on your part to make an Inwin case look awesome.
Yeah, and this is done by Simple Mods, and we've covered a few of their mods here. And it's just, it's not a whole lot of modding. He's done some really cool stuff. He made this really cool, like, digital camouflage that he put on both side panels, especially the back side panel, which I think looks super cool. He colored the case white on the inside, or painted the case white on the inside.
Yeah.
Obviously, custom water cooling loop in there.
Rigid tubing.
I like the little
Space Invader figures that are kind of scattered throughout.
Yeah, he has all the little Space Invader guys like all throughout the case. A lot on the front. I just think it's a clean build, and it looks just so. I think Inwin of the case obviously helps this out a lot. But this is just a really, really nice build.
It's simple, like you said, but it's still... This is something, I mean, you could do, you know?
Yes.
You know what I think would have been really neat, but would have taken a lot more time and effort, was if they would have removed the Bits Power symbols from the fittings and put the Space Invader guys on there.
That would be cool.
That would have been a super cool touch.
You know, one thing that I really like about Bits Power is, like, especially like these white fittings, they look so cool with the logos.
Oh, my gosh.
They look super cool with the Lotus. But I think that what you said is putting the Space Invaders guys on there would be super, super cool.
That super custom touch.
Yes.
The only thing I don't like about some of these builds is actually this manufacturer logos.
When they
group them together, it just reminds me of like the old school car modding scene when you stuck all the stickers or the window stickers all over. I just don't like it.
This was obviously a sponsored build.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like becoming the requirement a lot of the times.
Okay.
It
detracts from the overall aesthetics, in my opinion, is all.
Yes, it does. I think a lot of these, you know, it's part of the agreement these days. Because, you know, a lot, like, just like we're showcasing this, why wouldn't you want your logo on there?
Sure. I mean, they obviously donated the parts for it, so they want, you know, they got to get advertising somehow.
Yeah, so that's becoming a thing, especially because this is becoming so popular. And sometimes it looks good, and sometimes it just detracts, like you say. This one, I definitely think it detracts, because it's just all on the bottom there.
Yeah.
You know, you could have had, like, some type of Space Invaders thing at the bottom or whatever, you know, on that power supply cover, so... But I still think this is good, and I love this case.
For sure. Good work.
Yes, for sure. And if you don't like this build, we have a full section of Case Mod Friday builds, so you can go in there and see what's going on. There is a ton.
I guarantee there's one in there that you will like.
Yes, if you don't like a building, this there's something wrong with you.
then you probably won't. There probably are no cases that you would like. Yeah. No builds.
Yeah, and we cover every type of build, not just these, like, you know, really nice builds. We do the theme, you know, we have theme builds in there. We have custom cases, all kinds of stuff. So definitely check that out. It's a it's one of my favorite sections of the site that I actually go back and look at a lot. So definitely check that out. Also, we announced it. Did we announce it last week?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, we did. Yeah. Yep.
So we're still running our Zotac. Wait, why does it say Zotac? Is that, that's not right.
Zalman. It's Zalman.
It says, in our notes, it says Zotac for some reason. But we are giving away a Zalman Z, or two Zalman Z9 Neo cases. So it's super easy to enter. If you're not entering this contest, you don't like free stuff because you don't really have to do much of anything in this. All you have to do, there's two ways to enter. You can enter on YouTube. We link the video that we want you to go to. All you do is comment and you're entered. That's it. On Facebook, all we ask you to do is like us, like Zalman, share a post, and fill out our entry form. That's it. Each thing, the YouTube thing should take you less than a minute. The yeah. Facebook thing should take you 30 seconds. you know, so
yeah,
if you...
no problem whatsoever.
If you don't enter, you don't like free stuff because this is something you can get for free. And it is a pretty good case. I reviewed it a couple weeks ago. I do like the case, and it's white. Who doesn't like a white case?
Right.
So yeah, pretty easy to enter. I don't know how many entries we have. I could probably look that up, but we have a good bit right now. So, but definitely get your entry in. It's an easy way to win some awesome hardware, and it can help you start your build or get you a better case if you don't have a good case, or if your PC's in a box or something like that. You can actually put it.
You've been if you've been featured on our worst PCs article. This is for you.
Yes, so we can get you a case. So definitely check that out. All right, guys, we're back again. I honestly have no clue what's going on with our recording software. It might be time to upgrade or try something different because this is kind of getting annoying. This is the second time. And we've had some issues in the past, but we've never had it. It's just like – it was like – each one was like 15 minutes, and it was done. I'm not sure why. It has nothing to do with storage or anything. We have enough storage. But – we were talking about our Zalman Z9 Neo giveaway. We are giving away two of those cases, and as I talked about, they were extremely easy to enter, so definitely get your entry in. And the link to where you can find out all the information will be in our show notes, and I'll make sure I change it to not say Zotac. I'll make sure I change it to say Zalman, so we're in there. But let's get to news, because I don't want to get cut off again for some odd reason.
Yeah.
So we'll jump right in. And last week was the big GeForce GTX 1080 and 1070 reveal on all of that. And the big thing about that reveal was that the specifications for the 1070 were not revealed at all.
For whatever reason.
Yeah, they gave us some performance, but had no specifications. So the specifications have been revealed. The product page is actually on NVIDIA's website now. So we'll just go through it really quick. The GTX 1070 is based, of course, on the GP104, the same GPU that the 1080 is based on, but this is the GP104-200-A1, whereas the 1080 is the GP104-400. So we have a difference here. So it has 1,920 CUDA cores, 120 TMUs, and 64 ROPs. So that is basically 15 out of the 20 streaming multiprocessors are enabled on the chip. And it has a 256-bit memory bus with 8 gigabytes of GDDR5. That is GDDR5, not GDDR5X. Right. So that's a big difference there. And then as far as speeds go, the GPU will have a clock speed of 1,506 megahertz and will boost up to 1,683 megahertz. And it is going to be available June 10th.
Nice.
The Founders Edition, which is the one with the stock fan, is $449, and the other ones will have an MSRP of $379, and you'll see a bunch of those come out.
Yeah.
And it has 150 watt TDP, which is pretty awesome. Single 8-pin PCIe.
Which is the same as the 1080, right? I believe.
1080 is 180.
And
this is 150, yeah.
Makes about Makes sense considering this is 75% of the streaming processors.
Yes. So, pretty cool. It's good
Yeah.
that we actually have the info on it, because a lot of people were wondering what the big difference is, how cut down is the processor going to be and all that kind of stuff. So we have
Yeah.
all that now.
And I still think it's gonna be the actual benchmarks will be key though, I feel.
Yes.
Like you
Yes.
can look at all the specs that you want, but like, cause you're, it's not a straight comparison because it's not GDDR5X and it's cut down. So you really need to, there's a lot of the speeds and stuff are, it's very similar looking, right, to the 1080, but we got to see exactly what it does in
Yeah, and
benchmarks.
that's the biggest thing. So definitely stay tuned. And I'm not sure when the reviews will be out. I don't. I think they'll be out maybe like a couple days or maybe a week before the actual availability
Yeah,
of the card.
definitely not until June, at least, I would say.
Yes. So we got a ways to go, a little
There'll
bit ways to
probably be
go.
some leaks before then, but.
Yeah. Well, if there are leaks, we will definitely let you know about them for
Yeah,
sure.
every time.
So we'll move on to EVGA, and they announced their new X99 for the Win K or FTW K motherboard. And we're seeing a lot of these X99 launches
Yeah.
because Broadwell E is coming up, so we're going to have a whole slew of new motherboards. And this gives a chance for motherboard manufacturers to add new things that they've maybe added on Z170, and different features and different innovations that just weren't there yet when
Yeah.
X99 originally launched. Now they have them.
It's kind of cool. They get to release like a new series of boards for the same, socket and chip or chipset, but it's all upgraded. So it's not like rehashes of the same old boards. It's, just it's newer than just upgrades, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. It's better than just, the same thing with new minor changes.
Yes. So this is the X99 for the Win K. It looks like a pretty good board. I would say aesthetically, it's not as nice looking as some of the
No.
ones we saw from Asus in Gigabyte and MSI.
Not only that, I don't think it's even that good looking for an EVGA board, which I
Yeah.
actually have always really liked the aesthetics of the EVGA boards. They don't always have the best reputation for actual performance, but aesthetically, I've always been a big fan of them, and this one does not do it for me.
Yeah,
But.
I think it looks like an EVGA board to me. But it has a lot of stuff. One of the things that we were talking about earlier that they did change on this board, and it wasn't on the other X99 boards, at least not that I remember, is that the 24-pin ATX power connection is actually
90 degree.
90 degrees, much like your SATA ports would be on the board, which is
Yeah.
kind of interesting. And we were talking about on some cases this could be an issue. But some cases it might not be, and it might actually make it look better.
Yeah, overall, I think you're gonna find that it makes things look better.
Yeah, so that is one big change we saw here.
Definitely consider it though, because if you've got a case where it's gonna be too tight and you're not gonna be able to make that bend, you would be SOL.
Yeah, they have 10 SATA ports, which is nice.
Yep, those are all. There's a lot of 90 degree connectors on this. The SATA, the 24 pin, the USB 3. Is that a 6 pin in the bottom corner, like a PCI Express power
Yes.
boost? Okay. The only one that's not, I noticed, is the 8 pin CPU power connector.
Yeah,
That one's not.
you really can't do that 90 degrees.
Okay.
The holes on most cases, it's actually in the top corner.
Right.
So this would block a lot of stuff. And you don't want to go straight up anyways like that,
Yeah.
because then you have like radiators and all this stuff that you have to kind of worry
Definitely.
about.
Kind
But
of need that arc.
That would definitely get in the way. But I do like this board. It's always good to see new X99 stuff come out, for sure. So,
Oh yeah. I mean it's not the best looking, but it's okay. I'm sure it's got good features and stuff, so
all the
yeah.
X99 boards have really good features.
It doesn't have U.2 though, right?
It,
You were
not that
saying?
I saw, it doesn't have the U.2, which it seems like a lot of the other board manufacturers are going to.
Yeah.
EVGA usually sticks to kind of like the basic stuff. So it wouldn't
Yeah.
surprise me if they don't have it. Especially that we're seeing 8 SATA ports there.
Yeah.
No SATA Express, which is, I don't know what's up with that either.
Yeah.
So, not really sure, but
Single M.2.
yeah.
That's about it.
But they're the FTW board is the lower end board.
That's true. They'll be classified, I'm sure.
Yeah, so we'll definitely have to stay tuned for the classify, which might have all those features. So
could be. You know, it's funny. I just noticed that it's got the post microphone built onto it. That's not something you see very often.
Oh, I didn't even see that. That's funny.
Right along the bottom edge.
Oh yeah, it does.
Most boards don't even ship with those anymore.
Yeah, that is interesting. But
anyways, yeah, not a lot of lighting on this one either.
Yeah, you just have the lighting for the PCB isolation on the audio components. That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. And this might be a more affordable board, too.
It could be, yeah. Although historically, EVGA doesn't really have a super affordable board in their lineup.
Yeah, that is true. So. We'll have to see. But it's good to see. I like I said, I just love seeing all the new boards.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in X99. I love seeing it, so.
It's just great that we're actually talking about it. That's awesome.
Yes, for sure.
Love all the new boards.
Yes. Talking about new stuff, Inwin finally actually officially unveiled their 303 mid tower, and
this
we actually saw this at PAX. Not a lot of people covered it. We did. They had a few of these there, and what's really crazy about this is that this case, and looking at it, it looks like a really nice case. It's only going to be $80.
No way.
And the side panel apparently is actually real tempered glass, which doesn't make a lot of sense for $80. that still could be wrong.
That's awesome.
They could just put in the marketing. But so this case, the 303 looks much like the 805. Actually, looks a lot like the 805, but it's a little bit different. It has a full tempered glass side panel, which is amazing. That's just like what the 805 has.
It's got a cool little handle at the top of it too. It hinges at the bottom, it looks like, then.
Yeah, and what's one thing that's really cool about this is the power supply is on the top.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Behind like a little it's got like a hex pattern.
Yeah, and that is actually a radiator mount.
Oh, cool. So the power supply goes behind that. You know, like a regular PSU shroud, and then you mount you side mount a radiator.
Uh huh.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So this is very interesting.
I want a white one.
Yeah, these look pretty nice. They look pretty cool.
I really like the blue outlining on the in and outs on the front.
Yeah, and that all lights up.
Oh, okay. That's backlighting. That's so cool. Probably RGB, I assume, since it's.
I don't believe so. I think it's just that same.
Oh,
color.
No. Okay.
Still, I mean, again, you have to think
this. That's $80.
Yeah,
that's a killer case.
Yeah, so I'm pretty and the bottom. All right, guys, we are back again. I think we're gonna call this podcast "Technical Difficulties" because that just seems like what's going on. Again,
what we need to call it is Bob needs to learn how to computer. It's essentially what it needs to be called.
I mean, we're running the same software since we started this podcast. This is 64 episodes. We haven't had any crazy issues like this at all.
No.
So again, if you're listening to this, I mean, it's not like we're going to have big chunks of empty space because I will be cutting it. But still, sorry for all the commotion here. But we were talking about the Inwin 303, which again supposedly is supposed to be $80, which blows my mind. It looks like just an awesome case. Yeah, especially thing that really blows my mind about that price is the side panel.
You just don't get acrylic.
Yeah,
or tempered glass. Excuse me. Yeah,
because you would expect acrylic, it to be a cheap acrylic. Which it still could be.
I mean, what says their press release said that it's tempered?
This was posted somewhere else, so it wasn't a press release.
Oh, okay.
Well,
yeah, either way, I still think it's a pretty feature-filled case.
Yes.
So
it's very cool to see somebody going with a power supply at the top. We haven't seen that in years.
Yeah, that's cool.
And that allows you to show off a lot more of the system. I'm pretty excited to see what, you know, I'd like to do a build in here and see what it's about. So, and for $80, you really can't go wrong. So.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So we'll move on from that to some networking stuff. And you know, we've had 802.11 ABG, 802.11 AC, and now we have 802.11 AD. And the first 802.11 AD router is out. It's from TP-Link, and it is their Talon AD7200. And I believe you and Jack saw this at CES?
We did. I remember, definitely remember the design. It's pretty cool. I don't remember seeing that it was AD, though.
Okay.
Oh, you know what? Maybe I did. Jack is our networking guy, and he was the one doing all the talking on this. I was just filming, so maybe I remember that, but he probably would have more to say on this for sure.
Yeah,
but
so...
These things are massive, though, I can tell you that.
Yeah, they're very, very big, and what's cool about it is 802.11 AD, that's the new 60 gigahertz band, and that reaches speeds that are quite faster than gigabit Ethernet, and again, that's wireless. So that's like downloading 100 photos in less than a second, an HD movie in less than 40 seconds, and a full 4K movie in less than 8 minutes. And that's wireless.
Yeah.
So this thing looks like you said, is really big. It looks like a spaceship. It has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It has 8 antennas on it, which is pretty crazy.
The very interesting thing to me is that they all sort of, I mean, they face different directions, obviously, but like they do kind of, like there's no, they don't go any wider than the base of it, you know? I would have thought that would have been necessary to spread the signal more, but I guess not.
Yeah, I guess not. They might go out a little bit farther.
They were set up like that at CES, though.
Yeah, not really sure. I'm sure
their engineers thought of that, though. But
yeah, but this is a really cool product. It's good to see the first of new technologies and things. And obviously, that speed is pretty amazing, especially if you're doing like in-home 4K streaming or stuff like that. A lot of times when you're streaming content from like a media server or something, you need your media player or whatever it may be to be wired in, so you don't, you know, especially if you're streaming again 4K content from a media server or something like that, you need it to be wired in, and this, you know, is one of those products that's going to alleviate those wires for you.
Yes,
so yeah, it's pretty cool. I don't know the price.
It's $349.
Yeah, $349, so not super expensive either. So yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, it's the new AD, and then it's pretty much standard otherwise for top of the line routing. You know, 1.4 gigahertz dual core processor, MIMO, or MIMO. All the catchphrases.
Yes, all that Wi-Fi stuff that I don't know. Hold on. But yeah, this is really cool, and it's cool to see the first one come out, and obviously probably at Computex too, we'll see a lot of these AD stuff come out, so we'll definitely keep you up to date on all of that for sure.
Yes.
So we'll move on to gaming, and we actually have a good bit of gaming news this week. The first one, which is I think the most exciting for me, is that the Steam Summer Sale 2016 dates were leaked, and usually Steam tries to keep this under wraps. But it looks like they sent out an email about two publishers. When the sale's going to be, blah, 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 and somebody leaked it. So the Steam Summer Sale will start June 23rd and will run for 2 weeks. So definitely mark your calendar. Steam Summer Sale is great because so many games are on sale. There's daily deals all over the place. You know, you can get 3 or 4 games typically for the price of one. So if you're not sure you want to get a game now, you can kind of wait and see if it goes on sale on Steam Summer Sale. So... pretty cool to see that. I'm definitely marking my calendar. I'll pick up a few games probably.
Yeah, it's my favorite time of the year to stock up on games that I am probably never going to play.
Sometimes I do though. Like I'll buy like 4 or 5 games, and then like it gets, you know, that's like summertime, and I'm, you know, you're out biking and I'm out doing stuff, and you know, and then we get into the cooler weather and we're not outside as much. You're like, oh, I have these games that I haven't played. You know,
that's true.
You know, a lot of times I do that. So.
For me, though, it's honestly, like, it's just about building my library.
I'm not so much about building the library. But
I'm like, I don't have that game. That game looks awesome. I better get it. And then all my good intentions are all just gone.
Yes.
Oh, well. It's still awesome.
Yeah, so definitely mark your calendar. I'm pretty excited for it. I will at least buy one game, I would say.
Oh, yeah, so, at least.
So, yeah. So talking about games, Doom came out, and one thing that was kind of an issue with it was the Radeon support for it. And AMD did a really good job. And their new drivers that came out this week bring a massive increase in performance in Doom. AMD is saying that the their new drivers will give you a performance boost up to 35%. On an R9 390, and even older cards like an R9 290, you'll get a massive increase. And this is actually confirmed by a bunch of other tech sites. So if you are running an AMD card and you don't have the latest drivers yet, go get them, especially if you're playing Doom. Because they will, and that's a huge increase. A 35% increase is a lot. You know,
that puts you into the ultra settings range.
Yes. So it's good to see that. It's good to see that they've whatever issue there was, they fixed it and they've made and they did it quickly.
Yeah, that's the key, because this happens, you know, frequently enough for even NVIDIA, both sides. But the big difference is that NVIDIA usually fixes it quite quickly. So now it's good to see that AMD is also doing that.
Yes.
Because they didn't used to.
No. But I think, again, we've talked about this many times on the podcast, is that, you know, AMD, they really are pushing to be more consumer, or, you know, more for the gamer. They're doing things that, you know, they're releasing drivers quite often. They're optimizing games quite often. They're doing these things that they had needed to do for years, and they're finally doing them. So,
yeah, it's great.
Yes.
New leadership is doing good things.
Yes. So, and obviously, it brings more competition, too, because if you're not going to get an optimized driver, why have a card? Like, right. You know what I mean? If I know that I'm going to get optimized drivers on both sides, it gives me a choice of, like, okay, which card do I want? Yep. And it becomes more about the performance of the card rather than the other features. You know what I mean?
Yeah, You have to – if you don't have a level playing field as far as drivers go, there's no – you know, you're not competitive.
And I think for the past couple of years, there was no reason to get an AMD card.
No. It broke games. There was games you just – flat out couldn't play because of the drivers.
Yeah, so it's good. It's good to see that awesome performance increase for Doom. So pretty excited.
Yeah, for sure.
If I had Doom, which I didn't get. And I didn't even play. I said I was going to play it, and I just didn't have time to play it.
Yeah.
I still might get it, though.
It's like on my want-to-do list.
I might wait for the Steam Summer Sale. So I'm definitely going to get that at the Steam Summer Sale.
If it they've got sale. It and it's on sale, definitely.
Do you think it'll be on sale?
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty early for that game to go on sale.
Yeah,
you know, like it was just released. Sometimes that happens, sometimes not. So yeah, definitely. But it'd be it would be really nice if it was on sale, because I do have a hard time paying full price for games because I know I'm not gonna play them as much.
Yeah,
as
some... it's like even games like there's not besides The Division, which I played quite a lot.
Yeah,
there hasn't been a game where I'm like, okay, I'm buying this. I know I'm gonna put in this many hours. Like,
yeah.
You know, there hasn't been a game like that. I just don't. Have the time, and like a lot. Like, you know, I sit here all day, and this would be the game. This would be the PC that I'm gaming on, and I'd rather go outside
when it's nice. Yeah,
yeah. And like, I'd rather
and I think that's
stuff.
Only like that because we're forced inside for so much of the year based on where we live.
Yeah, I think that's a big issue with it too. So. But yeah, good that AMD did that, and good that you get better performance if you're using an AMD card. So
definitely,
we'll move on from that to Overwatch. And if you don't know what Overwatch is, that is Blizzard's new sort of like their new esports title. This is going to be big, heavy competition based game, and they recently announced that if you're going to cheat in the game, you'll be permanently banned. Which I think is great. I think that, you know, if you... Go ahead.
You were in the middle of a thought. I stopped you. Go ahead.
You know, if you're going to cheat in a game, especially a game that's very tournament and very esports focused, you should be banned. I think that cheating in games is... It doesn't make it fun for anybody.
Certainly not.
You know, if somebody's... You're playing a match, and even a casual game, and somebody's just destroying you every time, it's frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I think Blizzard takes a good stand on this. Don't cheat. Just become good at the game.
Yeah, and if you're not, that's just the way it is. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Practice.
Especially, you know, this is going to be like a big esports title. So become good at the game or play, you know, there are casual games and casual servers or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But I just think cheating is just, it just doesn't make even it fun.
Even on those servers, it's not cool.
Yeah.
It's like, it's very demoralizing when you're playing against that person.
Totally. And I just don't think that, yeah, it's just not fun.
The only instances where I can see this backfiring is A, sometimes you've got, you know, like a bad connection, or there's just something wrong and it disconnects you often and it looks like you're cheating, perhaps. There are instances where it like disconnects you, where it looks like you're trying to cheat.
Yeah,
Like getting permabanned for that would pretty much suck.
Blizzard, this has been the rule for a lot of their games, so I think they have a good handle on what's cheating and what's not cheating.
Okay.
You know, and I think they're a very community focused company. They listen to their users a lot, so if somebody is getting reported as cheating, they'll definitely investigate it, and they'll even probably even talk to the person about it, you know, and see what's really going on. I think
not just outright ban them and not say
ban and just don't even talk to them. You know, I think it will. They're again, from everything that we've seen over the years, they're very gamer focused company.
Oh yeah,
And they do a lot for their community. So, but I like that they're taking a firm stance on it. You're cheating, you're done. We don't have time.
Yes, you know. No, absolutely agree with that. If it's proven you're cheating, why should you be allowed to continue?
Yes. So, our last gaming news story here is one that we pretty much knew, but it was never confirmed, and they even tried to lie about it. So, Star Wars Battlefront came out in conjunction with Star Wars Force Awakens.
Yep.
And the biggest thing is that it was shipped without a single player mode, really.
Right. Yeah.
And EA first said that, you know, when they first came out, it said, oh, gamers won't even play single player. And EA even said after that the game might not have the depth that gamers wanted. Is what that means is, like, you know, single player gives a lot of depth, a lot of story, gets you really into the game, and without that, obviously you don't have that type of depth. And then in a during the investor day meeting for EA, the studio head Patrick Soderlund said, "We made this choice due to time and being able to launch the game side by side with a movie that came out to get the strongest possible impact." So basically, what that means is that they decided to ship a half finished game to cash in on the hype of Star Wars. And for gamers, that kind of pisses us off because we want a finished game. We want the full experience.
It's either going to sell or it's not going to sell. Didn't they not even hit the figures they were supposed to with that?
I'm not specifically sure on that.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it was kind of a letdown for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but because it was half a game. It really was. I didn't buy it. I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
I bought it. But I bought it. I bought it mainly to benchmark, to be honest.
Yeah.
I've played it, but like I haven't, you know. But yeah, I mean, you want, as a Star Wars fan, you want that single player mode. You want to adventure. You don't just want to go on a server and blast people up. Like, you want to, like, you know, you
connect me to the game.
Yeah, like you live in that Star Wars, you know, you watch everything and you want to live that Star Wars fantasy or whatever. And going on a server and killing some people isn't the same as going through a full campaign or a full single player mode where you're reliving a story. And I think that it just shows that EA doesn't care about the gamer. They care about money.
They don't.
And this isn't anything new. Everybody's known that EA is kind of a
lot of shady.
Yeah.
And they're not for the gamer.
Yeah. So,
this is how it is. It sucks that they own some amazing titles.
Yes.
And frankly, probably won't stop playing EA titles. But
you can't because they are good.
I mean, yeah.
But they do have a chance to make up for it. Battlefront 2 is expected to come out in 2017, so hopefully we will have a finished game for that.
Yeah.
But
even though that's probably set to just ride on the next movie release wave anyways.
Yeah, it could be. So we'll have to see. They're taking a lot of flack for this, so maybe they'll make a change, but knowing them, they probably don't care.
They usually don't.
Yeah.
They usually don't. It's doubtful they'll go back and, like, they'll never fully fix something like that. You know what I mean? Like, if there's a huge issue, they generally just don't fix it. They just roll on to the next game.
Yes. So,
unfortunately,
we will just have to see. But it's kind of interesting that that all came out, and but it doesn't surprise a lot of people. It didn't really surprise me either. But
I think it's sort of telling that they don't even care enough to keep it a secret.
Yes. So. Yeah, because they know people are going to buy it.
Yeah, they're like, whatever, just tell them anyways.
Yeah, so that is it for our news this week. We're going to try to end this podcast quite soon because I feel that the software is going to fail me again here. Yeah. But I'll just go over really quick what we have coming up next week. Thermaltake's Core X31 case, Synology DisStation DS216 Plus, that's a dual bay NAS, SteelSeries Apex M500, that's a mechanical gaming keyboard, and the Braven BRVX. And the BRVX is this very big Bluetooth speaker. It's completely waterproof, IPX7 rated, really cool. It's perfect because summer's coming up, and it's a perfect to have for that camp, or, you know, for camping or that campfire, or being out, or even being, like, on the water because it's waterproof. So definitely stay tuned for all of that stuff. Real quick, hopefully I don't get cut off. did you do anything fun this week?
Not really, no. I mean, I did fun things. I just didn't do any nerd things. Anything new?
I didn't do any nerd things specifically. I been watching hockey, and the Penguins are 6 wins away from the Stanley Cup, so I'm pretty pumped.
Cruising right along for you, huh?
Yes. But that's basically it. So we'll end this podcast just because I have a feeling we're going to get cut off, and I don't want to have to
start it again to finish it.
So
thanks. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. So, as always, everything will be on our show notes page. All of your podcasting programs or whatever, just Think Computers, all one word. Sorry about technical difficulties. I will get it fixed, hopefully by next week. So until then, catch you guys later.